Miles back with you, the Autumn Miles Show. How are you doing, Dallas, Texas? It is a beautiful day in Dallas, Texas. I'm just so honored. I'm so honored that you're listening today. Thank you for listening. It means the world to me. I just want to say, you know, I don't take this lightly. We have prayed over you today, you, the listener, today. And we believe that that God has an awesome message for you today, no matter who you are out there. God tells us His word does not return to Him void without accomplishing its purpose. And we have got an awesome week for you, actually. This is the week of Mother's Day. And, these re-air and we podcast these and we YouTube these. If you missed a show and you're like, oh, I missed it. She talked about this or she had on this guest or whatever. Feel free to go to our podcast and our YouTube. I am telling you, we have gotten so much incredible response from them. But this, if you're hearing this and it's not Mother's Day, week, we love you. This word is for you as well, because we definitely, I don't want any of these shows not to be used to their fullest ability. And our guest today is anointed. And I'm really excited about her. We're going to be talking about this week, perspectives of motherhood. Okay. Some of us are empty nesters and our kids are gone. Some of us are grandparents. Some of us have lost a child. Some of us have our kids are in the military. Whatever it is, there is a perspective of motherhood that you have. You know, I'm a mom of four. I have two biological kids, two adopted, all young children. But my perspective may be different from yours. So we're going to talk to some women this week that have sort of walked a different walk than you have, or maybe you're trucking on the same path. And I know these women. Now, these women are my people. Like, these are people that I know, that I hang out with, that I'm, texting buddies with. They're on my team. They're my good friends. My mom is going to be on the end of the week. And, she know me better than anyone besides Jesus. So, this week is going to be people that I know that I have been inspired by their walks. I want to get right to it today. Before I do that, I say get right to it. And then I'm like, hey, wait a minute. We have our society that's coming up. It's going to be May 26th. I want you guys to come to this. I'll be speaking live right here in Dallas. And I get asked all the time, when are you going to be in Dallas? Well, May 26th. 2016, I will be right in the DFW Metroplex. You can hit us up on any of our social media. We bombard you with updates and things like that about that. So I pray that you'll come. Now, without further ado, I want to introduce to you my friend. She and her husband, both pastor, Shoreline Dallas Church, right here in Dallas, Texas. She is a mama. She is an encourager. Let me tell you, y'all, this girl is like dripping with Jesus encouragement every single day. I'll be looking down somewhere and she'll say, "You're beautiful." And I'm like, not even thinking like that, but she has become such an encourager in my life. Welcome to the show. I wish we had those fake applause. Can we get those? Okay, we need some fake applause here. We want to welcome to the show Onika McClellan. Onika, welcome, my dear.
Hello. I'm so excited and so honored to be here. What an exciting season we are in, and I'm just thrilled to be a part of today.
Now, Onika, I met you, let's see, how many years has it been now? It's been maybe 2013 or 2012, maybe. When were y'all in the movie theater? When was the church in the movie theater? What year was that?
Yes. I would say about 2012.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so y'all, my husband he was a pastor at another church here in Dallas, and was transitioning, to a different season in life. And one of my girlfriends called me, and she's like, "Autumn, you've got to come to this church. The The pastors there are incredible. You just need to meet them. And I was there the first Sunday at the theater. I was there for the first church service ever because Rachel Tuttle, the worship leader at Shoreline Dallas, had invited me. And I heard your husband, Earl, get up and speak.
Yes, yes.
And of course, Onika, you got up, and Onika does a prayer of blessing at the end of every service. And I remember that happening. You were very involved in the service, but I went home and told my husband Eddie, you got to come to this place. You got to meet these people. And since then, we have moved. We moved buildings once. And now we just moved into a new building. Tell us a little bit about the church, Onika.
Yes, yes, yes. Our church is about 5 years old. And one of my favorite things about this church is that basically you'll see everything and everybody. We have all walks of life, all ages, all stages, all backgrounds. And it really is a little glimpse of heaven, in my opinion, because we have everything from an empty nester to an SMU college student to a young married to entrepreneurs, to single moms, to people trying to start a fresh start. It's basically an environment that is just life-giving, full of energy, full of Jesus, and full of love. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful because, like I said, you see everyone who comes in sees himself and they see Jesus. It's a great place.
And kind of the motto for the church, the mission, I don't want to say motto, mission of the church is to make it on earth as it is in heaven.
That's right.
We hear that from the pulpit. You hear that in the connect groups that that Shoreline has. It is sort of everyone has adopted the mission of this church. And it really does. You know, if I picture heaven, I would picture Shoreline. And I'm not trying to be like, I'm not trying to project something that's false. This is legitimately happening at this house, guys. We all walks of life, all types of people. It's just amazing. And my husband and I came that first Sunday, and then I snuck in as much as I could. And now, you know, I hate it when I have to miss. I miss it. Because just when I was pulling in this weekend, the parking team, which God bless them, held up a sign and it said home. And that's how we felt ever since that first Sunday. So Onika is here. Now, I wanted to plug the church a little bit because I love it so much. ShorelineDallas.com. You can get all the details about the church. But Onika is a mom who her perspective, she has a amazing biological son, Parker, but she also has adopted two children that are incredible. And this, we want to talk to you moms out there that maybe you've recently adopted, maybe you're planning on adoption, maybe you're in the middle of the process. It's hard. It's difficult. And so I wanted Onika to come on just to share her perspective of adoption. And y'all out there know that I've adopted two children myself. And Earl and Onika were a big, major support for us as we were adopting. So I thought, who greater to come on to encourage our listeners than you? Now, Onika, tell me a little bit about you and Earl, how you met, and when adoption sort of became an option for y'all.
Yes, yes. So we have been married for, it'll be 19 years this May, which blows my mind because I cannot believe we've been married for almost 19 years.
That's amazing.
But he is definitely the love of my life and my very best friend. We met and fell in love in college. He was 18 and I was 21, so he's younger, but you'd never guess it because he has so much wisdom and is just full of love and life and laughter. So we met and fell in love in college, and as we were dating, one of the conversations that we had after he came from a missions trip, he wanted a missions trip to India, and the team that he was a part of volunteered at an orphanage, and he fell in love with this sweet little girl, her name was Grace, and he came back from the missions trip and said, if we ever get married one day, which I think we're headed down that path, I just want you to know that I have a heart for adoption, and I would love to adopt a little baby girl.
So this is why you were dating?
This is why we were dating in college, yes.
Wow,
yes. So
awesome.
Years ago, that seed was first planted. And so since that little girl's name was Grace, I said, well, I love it. I love adoption. I love what it symbolizes and what it means. And so we're just going to trust God that at the right time, we're going to have a baby, Grace, one day. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the seed was first planted before we even married, when we were dating in college.
That's incredible that he had enough wisdom to say, listen, I'm thinking about this, you know, just so you know, this may be a part of our lives.
Right.
Awesome. Okay. So you get married, clearly. And take me through having children and take us through your journey.
Beautiful, beautiful. So we were married, and we were married for 7 years, and we decided to have our first child. And a little boy, his name is Parker, and he is now 11, and he is just a delight of our life. And when Parker was about 5, we thought, you know what? Let's think about having baby number 2. And at that time, both of us felt like, yes, we could have one biologically, but we felt very passionate together about adopting. Mm. And so since we felt passionate about adopting, we said, you know what? For baby number 2, let's adopt, and then baby number 3 we'll have biologically. Mm-hmm. So we started down the adoption journey, and actually I know that God is passionate about adoption, because mm-hmm. at the time I had a little part-time job at a clothing store, because a girl loves a discount, and when you have a part-time job at a clothing store, you get that discount.
That's right, girl.
Keeping it real. So I had a part-time job at a clothing store, and a customer came in who had just was talking about how she had just had babies. And I said to her, you look so good in those jeans. I can't believe you just had a baby. And then she happened to say, I just adopted, and my 2 babies were born early. And so I'm here in town visiting them in the hospital, but I'm going to get to bring them home soon. Oh. And so we started talking, and I said, my husband and I have always wanted to adopt, but we haven't known where to begin or start. And she said, here's the information of my adoption agency. It's actually based here in Dallas. It's called Gladney, based in Fort Worth. Mm. And she said, I think you guys should check it out. So we knew in our hearts that that was a divine appointment. So we called the adoption agency, started down the road and the process. And we were just bright-eyed, so excited, so expectant. I remember going to our first orientation and hearing the stories of the birth moms and touring the facility and just getting a feel for what we're about to step into. But when we saw the price of how much it was going to cost to adopt, we got very overwhelmed.
Yeah, because it's not cheap. It's not cheap.
It's not cheap. Yeah. It is not cheap at all. It's a huge, huge financial commitment. And in the natural, to be honest, we did not know how we were going to be able to afford it, but we had this dream in our heart, and we knew that we were supposed to adopt. So we left the orientation just talking and praying and dreaming, and Earl said, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I know that God has called us to do it. Mm. So we filled out our application, and it said, how do you plan on funding this adoption? And we wrote down, by faith. And we submitted our application.
Yes, girl.
And literally, yeah, by faith. And literally the very next day, my husband was at a men's event at church, and someone came up to him and said, I heard you and Onika have a desire to adopt. My wife and I have never been able to have children, and we believe in adoption, and we want to sow the seed towards your adoption. And we both started crying as Earl was sharing that story with me, because that was what we needed to know that we were headed down the right road and that God was going to provide for us.
So let me just stop you right there, because you have so much to share, but this financial thing stops so many people.
That's right.
Because it's not $29.99. We're talking about thousands of dollars. So when you wrote on your application, now the mission of this show is engaging culture with bold truth and raw faith, not packaged faith, not like, you know, my parents taught me faith, raw faith. This is a great example of that raw faith when you wrote by faith on the adoption.
Yes.
And let's just take this moment I've adopted too, you've adopted too, to encourage our listeners, you know, whatever God orders, he provides for. Okay.
That's right.
He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He knows the people he's planted seeds for financial blessing for you.
Yes.
Don't let money keep you from your baby. Walk.
That's exactly right.
In raw faith. And that's incredible, Onika. Okay. So you were right there, you had great confirmation.
Yes.
Let's move forward.
Yes. So basically, God And that was a symbol that God was saying to us, I've got this, I've got you covered. Mm. And every single step of the way, literally it was like manna from heaven. God was providing daily for us to be able to adopt our sweet little son. Mm. But definitely, just like with any promise, any dream, any vision, it does not come without a fight. It does not come without opposition. And with that said, we started off bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, full of faith, like, God, you've got this. But we did have our weak moments when we felt like, because our dream was deferred, because we had several situations where we'd be paired with a birth mom, and then it would fall through. Mm-hmm. Then we'd be paired with a birth mom, and it would fall through. And to be brutally honest, it felt as if we were having miscarriages, because we'd be pregnant with a dream, then we'd have to miscarry. Mm-hmm. Then we'd get pregnant with a dream again, and we'd have to miscarry. So there were definitely some dark times on our journey to adoption. It wasn't all beautiful and tacked, you know, packed neat and tidy, just like you said, raw faith. Mm-hmm. And so there were some very raw seasons where we really had to stand on God's word, stand on the promise that he gave to us, and trust him even when it seemed like it wasn't going to happen.
And let me stop you there again. I feel like, and you know, it's interesting. We worked with two agencies, but one of the directors was a believer, and she said, you know, in my 30-year experience, sometimes I see it's harder for Christian couples to adopt because there is constant pushback, there's constant failure, there's constant opportunity that falls through because
yep.
Satan hates it. He hates
exactly.
It. He hates
yep.
it. And he whatever God is for, Satan is against. So
that's right.
That is a very natural thing you're saying. It happened to me. It definitely happened to y'all. How many times did that happen when y'all had
three times
y'all were planning for a baby and it didn't happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So I got to go ahead, you go.
No, go for it.
I was just going to say I got to the point where I actually called our adoption agency, and I'm just being really vulnerable, no filters here. And I said to our adoption agency, thank you for your help. We know we feel called to adopt, but please stop connecting us. I'm just being brutally honest with birth moms because they keep breaking our hearts. Mm. I said, please don't call me until you have a baby for me.
Mm.
And my husband looked at me and said, I can't believe you just said that. But we had to make that resolution, like, we know we have a baby, but we need to wait until you can call us to tell us we have a baby instead of being on this emotional roller coaster.
And what I remember from your story, and there was one,
yes.
You had three times that it didn't work out, but the last one, it was pretty far down the road. Is that right?
Very far down the road. We yes. had tickets booked. We were flying to New York to meet our baby. My all my bedding was already picked out and ready for my little girl, who is going to be named Grace.
Mm.
And the day we were leaving for the airport, we were at our son's preschool, and we got a phone call that we thought was saying, your baby's been born, get ready to go pick her up. And the phone call actually was the adoption fell through.
Mm.
And we sank and were so discouraged, and that was when after I had that kind of come to Jesus with our adoption agency. Mm-hmm. But we took a drive to Dallas to get away because we needed to heal our hearts and be reminded what God called us to do. And on that drive to Dallas is actually when God confirmed to us that we were called to Dallas to plant the church. So
wow.
Even in the midst of us feeling discouraged, God still was waking up something in our hearts and confirming that we were called to plant a church in Dallas. When in the midst of us feeling like our adoption felt like it wasn't going to happen.
Mm.
And so the beautiful thing about when we go through a dark time or a dark moment, we look at that and think that it's final, but actually God can use that dark time to remind you of a dream that he's placed into your heart and speak faith and speak life into your situation. Because like I said, we were driving to Dallas to heal, and as we were driving there, God confirmed this is the city where you're supposed to plant your church.
He almost deposited a different kind of seed of
exactly.
a new
yep.
baby.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So that is so, I know that's encouraging someone right now that you went all,
yep.
almost to go pick up your child, got a call, thought
exactly.
it was your baby's born and no. So,
exactly.
So you called your agency, said, okay, I'm done. Because the emotional roller coaster is traumatizing. It's traumatizing.
Exactly.
You didn't hear, and then what happened?
So we were just continuing on with our life. My husband had just come back from a speaking engagement. We were unpacking one Friday morning. The phone call rang, and it was our adoption agency, and they said, a baby boy has been born, and the birth mom has picked you. And we dropped the phone. We started crying. And she said, the birth mom's going to be signing away the rights tomorrow. Are you ready to come meet your son? Wow. And in a moment's notice, our life changed. We didn't have a nursery. We didn't have any diapers because we weren't expecting, obviously, that phone call. And literally, in the twinkle of an eye, our whole situation and life changed. And mm-hmm. so I was so excited that literally I left the house, ran to the store, and bought a bunch of baby clothes to get ready for our sweet little baby. But it was summer, but I was so in shock, I bought all winter clothes.
Aw, bless his little yes. heart.
Precious. I know.
So you went and picked him up from the hospital.
That's right. And that was obviously not an easy situation in terms of, think about this, the courageous birth mom yeah. who had to make that decision of the life that I'm living right now. I don't feel like it's suitable to raise a child in this environment. And I'm so proud of her for realizing that and saying, you know what? I'm going to take the harder road, which is adoption. And so our social worker prepared us and said, just so you know, it's going to be emotional when you walk in, so don't come in with balloons and horns. I want you to be sensitive to what this birth mom is walking through in this moment. And so that prepared our hearts. And we walked into the room, and she was holding our beautiful little son. Mm. And we just both started crying because it was the fulfillment of a promise. Yeah. And we looked into his sweet little eyes, and it felt as though right away there was an instant connection. Mm. That's our baby.
Yeah. And he is totally precious. His name is Grayson McClellan.
Yes.
And he is just, I mean, he's just like the cutest thing ever. Is he five or six now, Onika?
He is five. And he is full of life. He is our baby. Mm. The beautiful thing about adoption is it's confirmed to me every single day that it happened in heaven, and that obviously God, because he's adopted all of us, he is the inventor of adoption, because Grayson looks just like my mother-in-law. He is a McClellan through and through. He looks just like my husband, has our heartbeat, has the DNA of our family. He is our little boy, and I just love the beauty of how God set this up before we even knew it. He set this up back when we were in college and knew that Grayson was supposed to grow up in our home.
So no matter how long it takes, how much rejection you get, if God's called you to it, there is a baby on the other side of that.
That's exactly right.
Now
That's exactly right.
We don't have very much time, okay, so you have Grayson, and y'all's story is totally incredible. And I love that my husband and I sort of got to walk you through baby number three. So you've had Parker and Grayson for five years, Grayson, and then, of course, I think Parker was 10, right?
That's correct.
So tell us about baby number three. This is a crazy story.
So back to our original vision in college when we thought we were having a little girl, but obviously Grayson was a boy, and so instead of naming him Grace, we named him Grayson after our original promise. Well, we were continuing on our life. In the back of our minds, we always thought, I wonder if we'll ever have a little girl. But we're busy with our two and busy with planting this church, and so we were continuing on our journey. And out of the blue, we get a text message in July, and the text message from our worship leader at our church said, there's been a baby who's born at a hospital that's been abandoned. Do you know of anyone who would be willing to adopt this sweet little baby? And I read that text message, and I read it to my husband, and I said, Earl, do you think this is our baby? And he looked at me and said, let's go for it. Oh. And in the natural, it was the most wildest time for us to be considering having another child, but it just felt right. That was a Monday. By Friday, we were driving and picking up our little angel, who is now the apple of our eye, who we just absolutely are crazy in love with.
And she is totally, totally precious. Her name is Elle. And
yes.
You got Grace in there, didn't you? Isn't it
Elle? It did.
Elle Grace, right?
Elle Grace McClellan, yes. And the beautiful thing about her story is that her birth mom named her Grace as her middle name. Mm-hmm. And so that was another confirmation to us that God was involved in this from the very start.
Wow. Your story is unbelievable. And thank you for sharing it, Onika. I know that this perspective of motherhood is going to encourage so many people, because adoption is happening these days. You know, it's not something that that people don't do. A lot of people are in process, and it is a very difficult one. Sometimes it's a very long one. And I know that you have just encouraged them. So thank you so much for being on the show, Onika. I really appreciate all your wisdom towards adoption.
And honored to be here.
Thank you out there for listening today. You will find us right back here tomorrow on the Autumn Miles Show.